Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we are already having some fun here in the morning. How is everybody doing here today?
Terrific, Andy. We're doing I'm doing great.
Joe Haley screaming into the microphone.
Joe Haley needs a haircut. He looks like Clarabel.
Do not. It's my fro. I'm growing my fro out. Look at
Wow.
Nothing.
Impressive.
Thank you.
You look at Horseshack. That's who you look like.
He's dead.
That ever-present voice with the horse shack whip was Michelle Bell, editor
all
of Supplier Global Resource.
Hi there.
Michelle, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Wow, we're losing it here this morning already. Kathy Houston,
yep.
How are you?
Fine. Yep.
The queen of the one-word answer. Fantastic. All right, we got Vinny answering your calls today. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We're going to have some fun with this topic. It is, as Michelle titled in our lineup today, "Help, I've screwed up a big order for a client."
Oh.
What can I do now? So if you have any issues that you had that you've done recently where you went wrong on an order, give us a ring, and Kathy Houston will give you a one-word reply on how to fix it.
Well, since I've never screwed up, I'm really not the right person.
Andy, you forgot someone.
I can honestly say that Kathy has. Yeah. I haven't forgotten someone. I just haven't gotten there yet,
okay,
Joe.
Okay, good save.
On the tech board today is Mina. Mina, give us a big sound. Big applause. Big something for yourself. Nothing.
No.
There we go. We got a good applause. So we're talking about how to overcome order errors. If you have a question or just want to share a tale of woe that you have overcome, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. And Joe, if we put them on the air, what are they going to get here today?
$25 Visa gift card.
And a one-word answer from Kathy Houston.
Yep.
See that?
There you go.
Perfect. She walks right into it. It's beautiful. All right, Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we have three ways to turn warm leads hot. Kathy has a look at that. How to entertain clients on a shoestring budget. Well, Michelle, she is quite the entertainer, so she's going to let you know how to do that. We have creative ways to take advantage of the recovering economy. 12 things customers care about and how that will help you get sales. 5 ways to stay motivated. We also have our favorite things, but let's start this whole thing off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with leadership changes across the top 40 landscape. BIC APP, the parent company to supplier organization Norwood and BIC Graphic North America, said last week that Nicholas Payo will be stepping down from his CEO role and leaving the company. Edgar Hernandez will assume leadership of the BIC APP unit, with Emmanuel Bruno remaining as vice president and general manager of the company's North American efforts. More top 40 personnel news now. Ash City announced yesterday that Doug Hayes, most recently from Crocs, Inc., will be taking over as president and CEO on January 1. Gary Hurwitz, founder of Ash City, will remain to oversee the company's product development and supply chain initiatives. On to more personnel news now. Supplier firm Alternative Apparel has named Eric Jewell as its new president and chief merchandising officer. Evan Toporek remains as CEO of the company. Apparel-related news, Adidas is getting into some licensing trouble as many universities have terminated licensing contracts with the company because of questionable manufacturing and labor policies. Check out Promogram today for full details. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show, also in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today's episode?
We've got antimicrobial shirts that wick away moisture. We have hot and cold pads. We have a lot of stuff, so stay tuned and watch it.
Look at you delving into the antimicrobial. I can't even say it.
I'm talking about
antimicrobial area.
Shoestring budget.
Wow.
Wow. Listen to Kathy.
Easy for me to say. Kathy finally gave us two words. Thank you very much, Kathy Houston. All right, we have a lit up phone board, right? Vinny's so busy over there, he doesn't know what to do with himself. We're going to be discussing how to overcome order errors here today. Very important topic for distributors. If you have a question, give us a call at 215-953-4979. Before we get to that, we're going to get to our product safety minute with ETS Express's Leighton Lee. Leighton, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well today. Thank you. I hope everyone else is doing well as well. And I want to talk a little bit about factory safety this morning.
Okay, that was a big issue last week after the fire that killed over 100 people in Bangladesh, isn't that right?
Absolutely correct. And for many of you who may not have heard, the Chinese government did a one-line blurb this morning over the wire announcing or disclosing that they had a factory fire just recently, and that killed 14 people, also a garment factory.
They gave it all in one line, huh?
One line. That was it. One line. And I Googled it this morning to find out more information, but none was to be found. But this factory in Bangladesh, Tazreen Fashions, has been a problem factory for a number of years. I did some homework by calling up a few friends, and they have all disclosed that this factory has refused over time to make changes to make their factory safer for their employees. Therefore, a number of major brands have been exiting from this factory.
So what do distributors need to know when these kind of things happen, when factory fires are happening overseas? You know, their products that they're ordering might be made in these kind of factories. What do they need to know to make sure that that they and their clients are safe?
Well, this is the next step in our product and manufacturing practices spectrum. Over the past several years, 4 years or so, our industry has been really focusing on product safety. Now we have to move on to the next segment in a product compliance program or a sourcing compliance program, and that is the social compliance aspect. And you're going to see in the next year or two an increased vigilance by major brands to force on distributors and downstream to suppliers like us to improve their factory conditions, worker conditions, and so forth. You're going to see stricter codes of conduct come down and increased vigilance of factory audits. So we need to be ready. Distributors need to be knowledgeable about what social compliance is all about so that they can speak intelligently with their clients and buyers. Got to work with their compliance people to ensure that the suppliers that are selling product to them have full compliance programs in place and have the necessary factory audit. Another takeaway from today is that once you establish a good program for your company, you're going to use this as a market differentiator. Clients and buyers are going to come to you and say, wow, I already know that this company already has a good program in place. Factories are audited and they're all buttoned up. We can go with them rather than someone else that we don't know. Because the brands are really, really skittish about this. Mm-hmm. They don't need and nor want the bad publicity when their name is named like Walt Disney Company or Walmart or some of the others that have been named in the Tazreen fire of last week. So one final takeaway is that for distributors, choose the factories that are reputable and can prove to you that they have the programs in place to protect their brands.
Absolutely. All right, Leighton. Well, thanks for the information, and thanks for calling in today. Well, Michelle, you want to say something?
I do. I would say that what Leighton, the point he made about social compliance, that really is the next thing a lot of suppliers I talk to are going to be taking that next step to actually get people on site in factories to make sure that the workers are treated well, yep. that the facilities are up to code. And I think this is really, you can point to what happened with Foxconn, which is the factory that handles Apple's products. Mm-hmm. They really, you know, the workers went on strike. They put a lot of pressure on Tim Cook, who's the right. new CEO who took over for Steve Jobs, that he has made a commitment to Foxconn that he will now, which they had never done before, go in and make sure that there's social compliance with the workers and the conditions as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very important information, Leighton. Thanks for giving us a ring this morning. All right. We're going to move on now to our call-in topic of the day, which is how to overcome order errors. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 if you've had a situation that you're trying to figure out how to overcome or simply want to share a tale of how you've overcome an error that you made on an order. We have a bunch of callers on the line already. On line two, we have Adam. Adam, how are you today?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question for the host?
This is a little embarrassing, but I had a client's art proof, and I didn't check it thoroughly, and there was a misspelling on the imprint. And of course, they weren't too happy. So what can I do to fix the situation?
Michelle?
Get the order reprinted.
Yeah, no, here's what I would do. I would, if you miss the in-hands date, I mean, you're just going to have to try to, you know, make amends with that. But I would just try to get it done as quickly as possible, even if it means getting another product, paying for it yourself, paying for the shipping. You need to do whatever you can to make that good. You know, Bonnie Sandy, who is one of our panelists at the Power Summit, has a plan in place for her employees whenever there's a mistake. She has the three-option rule, where before she even calls a client and says something has gone wrong, she has three alternatives on how to fix that problem.
Oh, that's good.
Which goes a long way in kind of taking away the pain of mm-hmm. the problem.
Yeah, and then everybody knows what the steps are or what the yep. options are in place. Joe, what do you think?
I think that, you know, yeah, you have to go. You have to correct that order, but you need to eat the cost of
yeah.
it. And, you know, make it right. And you need to start checking those proofs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to check the proofs.
That's the number one thing. You know, I had a situation where I run a small soccer league for kids ages 5 to 9. And at the end of the year, they get a medal of participation. And each year, the medal comes on a neck ribbon that has the year on it. I picked it up. I've been ordering from this trophy company for 15 years. Never had a problem. Picked them up this year. Didn't check the medals. The majority of them had a 2011 neck ribbon. And an 8-year-old kid pointed that out to me. Yeah, so, but they are making it right. They are shipping me all the neck ribbons that I need, and at no cost.
Yeah, Adam, I think that the the proof process is normally the last step in the whole sales and fulfillment process of promotional products, but it's also probably the most important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't find the time to look at proofs carefully and send to clients, but it's something you have to build in the time to do. You must.
I think as to Joe's point, I mean, even if you've done an order, repeatedly with a really good supplier, you always have to check.
Right,
always.
Definitely.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Adam, thanks for the call. And hang on the line so Vinny can get your information for your Visa gift card. Okay, on line three, we have Ed. Ed, how are you today?
I'm excellent, thank you. Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you as well. What's your question for the host?
Well, first of all, Joe, are you smarter than an 8th grader?
I wasn't at this point.
Clearly not.
We could answer that question.
That speaks for itself, doesn't it? Sorry about that.
That's okay, Ed.
I wanted just to kind of maybe state the obvious. When a problem has happened and it's not something you should have, would have, could have done something to prevent it, it's already happened. The obvious thing is to, get on the phone, profusely apologize, and I know that's not enough in and of itself to make them feel better about it, but I would, most of the time it's a vendor error with my issues that have happened, maybe late shipping or out of stock, didn't tell us. Sometimes, though, I didn't maybe once in a while confirm that they got an email about the order or, anything in the process to make sure that it's going the way it ought to be going, and it's kind of deflects a little off of you if the customer doesn't know or care who the vendor is, and it doesn't shed bad light on the vendor because of that. But just a real sincere apology, and also send them something. Send them a gift basket. Send them a gift card, something to show you really care, not just words.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to echo what Ed said. The apology is something that I don't think enough people do, first of all. But it's also so impactful. The sort of admission that you were wrong and then this is how we're going to fix it is a step that many people need to take. Even if it wasn't your fault, even if it was the supplier's fault, it's yours because that's your client. So yeah. What Ed said is absolutely right.
I usually add, ultimately, I'm responsible.
Right.
But I do want to acknowledge to them that I didn't err. The vendor did. I'm sorry on their behalf. I'm sorry it happened, and I am ultimately responsible, and I realize that.
No doubt.
Our metal vendor did apologize, and, he said it shouldn't have happened, and, he was right on it like that, so,
Well, that makes all the difference.
Yeah. And he always gives me EQP, so.
Gives you what?
EQP.
Credibility with the client, how solid the relationship is, because when it's gone bad, little can make them feel very good about mm-hmm. it.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not really enough, and they're kind of ticked off still. And it all depends on the degree to which you have that cred and solid
solid ground with them, I think.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. All right, Ed, thanks for the call, and hang on the line for your Visa gift card. We're going to pause now to hear from our show sponsor, AIA, but when we get back, we're going to what's wrong
what
with
are we, gonna do with
we are going to continue the conversation about how to overcome order errors.
You're working the show.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we're talking about how distributors can overcome order errors. Michelle is questioning herself for opening some sort of really old imprinted bottle of wine.
We have all these gift bottles of wine here that I assume Joe was using on the Joe Show, and I just opened one of the bottles, and clearly the wine's been sitting there for a while.
Obviously.
Smells like
opened.
Vinegar. Yeah. And a little vinegary.
Not so good in the morning. All right, we're going to head back to the phone lines today. On line five, we have Sandra. Sandra, how are you this morning?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking. I hope you all are as well.
We're doing great. What is your question today?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment. I recently placed an order for some hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. Did not order any samples. Sent in the order. Client got the proof. I should have looked at the proof really carefully because the word hand sanitizer was so big and bold, it overpowered the client's logo.
Oh.
And I didn't catch it. The client didn't catch it. They approved it. When they got the order, thank God the order wasn't applied. The labels weren't applied well. They rejected the entire order.
Right.
I had to go on a hunt for a replacement product and jump through hoops to find something that they approved. But it was just incredible to not even pick up on that in the midst of the proofing process. Even going back to the factory and saying, if we can redo this, can you get that word smaller? Can you make it less noticeable? Other suppliers do that. The factory was not very flexible. So they lost the order, and fortunately I was able to save it for the client going to another supplier. But oh my goodness, checking your proofs before you even send them to the client, I was grateful that I managed to, you know, solve the problem that the factory worked with me on it. But wow, it was scary.
Sandra, I wonder if in that situation, even if you had seen the proof correctly, if that hand sanitizer word would have been there. Sometimes you'll see a proof and they'll just show you the imprint that you're creating, you know, for your client and not necessarily what's around it. Would that have been part of it?
They showed the whole label layout, and the hand sanitizer was capital letters, big, bold, black, heavy font. And, you know, we were so focused on looking that you could read the client's website and their toll-free number that we didn't even think about the perspective of how this label was going to wrap on that little hand sanitizer. And, oh, my gosh, when they came in and I saw them, I freaked out. Not only that, but the factory sent one of the boxes with a competitor's imprint on the outside because they had subcontracted this out, and the supplier that they sent it to that did it for them used a competitor's box. When I went to the client's office and I saw that, I freaked.
Wow.
I thought, talk about, you know, well, thank God it all worked out, but I have to tell you, it was not a happy moment for me.
I'm sure not. Well, it sounds like, Sandra, you made a good save.
Thank goodness I did. I saved the client. Client got what they needed. Everything's working well. But there was some big tension in the middle there, let me tell you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call and thanks for the story. That was a good anecdote. And hang on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. On line one, we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you this morning?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, it's interesting. Over the years, I've learned my lesson by kind of like the words that my grandfather used to tell me. He, he would mentor me when I first got in the business, and he said, you know, how much will you, you know, pay to get a client? And it's amazing how much you'll pay to get a client back. And so based on the idea that the vendors are always, they always have deeper pockets than distributors, I have just a regimen that I just will not go away from when it comes to proofing a product. I mean, even our reorders, we ask for a proof. But what's interesting about what Joe said was he said that, you know, maybe they would, even if you had seen the proof, you wouldn't have seen everything. And years ago, I did a pens for an Israeli-based telecom company. And when the pens came in, at the very top of the pen, it said, made in Germany. And that was a real issue for, you know, an Israeli-based client. And so I think Joe really hit a powerful point, and that is not only do you need a proof for the artwork, but you need a proof for everything that's going to be on that product. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is an important point because you don't always see, you know, their own whatever kind of information they have on a product. Certainly hand sanitizer has a lot of disclaimers and various things like that, but other products do as well.
Yeah, we just recently did water bottles, and the company demanded that they put all this little information on it because it was mandatory, and all it was little information that really just led back to the vendor, and most of it really wasn't. We asked, and it's amazing how if you just ask sometimes, they'll adjust it. And what they did for us at the water company is they ended up putting our information because we showed them that, hey, calls back to us will be orders back to you. So we just try to pick our vendors really carefully and not use a boatload, but we try to use a reliable small source of vendors. And then when we look to new vendors, we interview them.
Right. As you would with anybody you buy product from.
Yeah, my question to you is what do you send to a client when you know you've screwed up?
You mean what kind of products or what kind of apology?
Yeah, what kind of apology? I mean, we've done food, we've done little baskets, but is there, I mean, the one thing that I do is if I know a mistake is happening, I went to the vendor and it's got to be redone, I call the client immediately. Mm-hmm. But what do you recommend that really, what do you recommend that typically smooth things over? And do you also send it to the entire office of your client or just to the one person?
You could send it just to just the one person, but it could be something that could be shared with the whole office. Stanley, in addition to making that initial call as soon as possible, which I think is crucial, the I'm sorry call, you should, I think, a handwritten note with a gift, with like a gift basket, goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Even if you want to, I think if you want to take them out for dinner or even give them theater tickets or something to take somebody out themselves, I mean, that would go a long way too.
Yep, for sure. I think that the most important thing is the apology. I do like Michelle's idea with the written apology. That I think that goes a long way. I don't know that the gift matters as much as you taking ownership of the problem and explaining how you're going to fix it for any future orders. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's the probably the most important step. The other thing is more token than anything else. All right, Stanley, thanks for the call, and hang on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card.
You know, as a gift, I might give something like apparel. Like if you know the guy, you know, if it's a man or a woman, if they golf, a nice golf shirt, hooded sweatshirt, something that has their logo on it, which could actually lead to other sales if they like it enough. It's like, oh, I want to get this for the staff. So,
you know, not for anything, but one of the panelists that we had at the Power Summit who was on my customer service panel, Robert Stillman, who's the owner of Far From Boring, a distributorship in Boca Raton, his client is Macy's, and they made a mistake. And to fix that, he took the key people that he deals with for the account out to dinner, and to the tune of $4,000 that dinner was. But it is what he had to do to save the account. Mm-hmm. And there's still his account, and, you know, everything's fine now. But, you know, he fixed the mistake.
Right.
But just as a make good, I mean, I think you do what you need to do. Not always to that scale, but.
Right.
Well, but what that $4,000 is not just a make good. It's an investment in his company's future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you need to invest to grow. And in this case, he needed to invest to turn a client that was angry into a more satisfied one.
Yep.
And obviously it worked. So, yeah, it's a lot of money to drop on a nice dinner. But if they're continuing to buy, then you're going to reap that certainly back. So some good important information there. Okay, we're going to pause to hear from our second show sponsor today, ASI Computer. But when we get back, Kathy's going to tell us how to turn warm leads into hot ones.
Have you outgrown your current order management software? ASI Computer Systems and ASI SmartBooks will streamline your business. From accounting and marketing to order management and shipping, ASI SmartBooks manages all aspects of your business with one software solution, specifically designed for the advertising specialty industry and fully integrated with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Spend less time organizing and more time making sales. Call 1-800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to grow your business with ASI SmartBooks. Get ASI SmartBooks.
Oh, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show.
Where we wake up now.
We've been talking about, I was waiting for intro music, where we've been talking about how to overcome order errors. And lots of what we've heard this morning is the importance of proofs. So take a look at those proofs and build time into the process to make sure you and your client are seeing proofs and having time to look at them.
Just make sure it's not one of these, you know, clients that likes to complain about everything, too.
Sure.
Like Joe Haley.
No, I'm a good client.
No, I think we've the stories that we brought up here today have been legitimate issues that distributors have to own. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, there is.
But just beware.
Yeah, there are complaining clients certainly that, you know, if you get a box of T-shirts and everything wasn't exactly the right sizes or whatever, but they didn't necessarily need the right sizes. Yeah, you have over complaining clients, but that's kind of a different issue. But you know, we have some interesting topics here.
You know what, all of the comments that we've gotten on Facebook have to do with not checking
proofs.
Seems so simple.
Like, I think it's time. People don't give it.
Here's one though from Robin Sexton. I love
that's
she
the
once
one I like.
She once ordered imprinted bottled water for a client instead of imprinted water bottles.
Right.
I mean, that's a simple enough, you know, mistake. She just wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. So she said, my lesson was to make sure to see a photo of the item along with the artwork proof.
Yeah, get samples. You know, make sure you're seeing a sample like that one person who didn't see the sample of how hand sanitizer would be written. You know, it's going to be on there, and there's going to be disclaimer information. There has to be certain information that's on hand sanitizer because it's an FDA product. So the FDA it demands that certain things are on there. So you have to look to make sure that those things are positioned well and your client's logo is still okay. All right, Kathy, we told people that we'd say how to turn warm leaves into hot ones. So how do they do that?
All right. First of all, you're supposed to make a list of every person you could think of that might be interested in your products, no matter how far removed they might seem. Then once you have that list, cut it down to the people who are most likely to want what you have to offer and would want your services right now. And this suggests that you invite the most likely people to a special event like a cocktail party, a barbecue, or an open house.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts a little personal touch, and then they could see what you have to offer right there on your property. Also, a lot of people think they don't have time for social media, but you really don't need a lot of time. You just have to continue to develop your list of potential clients and your relationship with them by providing useful tips, solutions, and information through all the various social media channels about what you have to offer and good ideas for their markets. And third, don't give up. It's not going to be easy to turn a lead into a sale, but the worst thing you could do is get frustrated and give up. Like they always say, the more no's you get, the closer you are to yeses. Yep. So don't give up.
There you go. Okay, Kathy. All right, Michelle, 'tis the season for corporate entertaining. Yep. So how can companies do it on a shoestring budget?
You know what? Here's a few tips that I'll go through really quickly as December is the month for entertaining and for kind of locking in clients for the next year in their contracts. First, vet the venue. Take charge of where you go to dinner. It helps keep the dinner selection within budget and gives you the chance to use sites like Savor.com to get 10 to 30% on discounts on your bill.
That site is awesome.
Savor.
I use that in New York City, and all sorts of restaurants are on it. All you need to do is make a reservation on the site for that restaurant, and you automatically get 10 to 30% off
your
bill.
Some
of them are 30% off. Yeah. It's incredible. Check
it
out.
Savored.com.
Yeah.
Keep everybody happy. Give your client an excuse to duck out of work early and give yourself a break on the drink tab by grabbing drinks during happy hour. Happy hour specials, drinks and appetizers. Mm-hmm. And then one more I'll do. Think outside of the box when you're entertaining clients. If they like art exhibits or wine tastings, you know, a lot of those things are free. You can take them to art galleries for art openings, for tastings and things like that. You know, a lot of food festivals go on. You can do a lot of things if you search your city's site or wherever you're going to be for free cultural events.
Mm-hmm.
Very
so we'll
good.
Put this online.
All right, we have just enough time for Michelle's favorite segment of the show, and that is our favorite things. Kathy, lead us off.
All right, well, you know, it's been like 60 degrees, but it is December, so people are going to start needing ice scrapers eventually.
Okay.
So I have a brand new light-up ice scraper. It has bright LED lights in it, and it is from the Magnet Group, ASI 68507. And think of this not only for, like, auto-related promotions, but hotels that might have stranded guests in a storm. That would be a good idea.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
There you go,
rental car companies.
Yeah, that too.
Leave it in the car and have them take it with you.
Exactly.
With them when they're done.
There you go.
We're thinking here today. Joe, you're up.
All right, look at this. It is a hot cold pack. You put it in the microwave, you know, and you heat it up, and you put it on your sore muscles, and then you can also freeze it and put it on your aching joints. The good thing about this is that imprint is under the first layer of
material,
thank you. And so we'll never rub off. The liquid inside is 100% pure water, so there's no toxins in there.
Or water.
And you can get it in a variety of different sizes, too. I mean, you can get a big, huge sheet of this. It's got a lot of, you know, applications for sports-related marketing. You can give it to your clients. You can give it to your employees.
Cool.
And, you know, ski season's coming up, and people, they're out there hit the slopes, and
they're aching bones.
This is from Smart Goods, ASI 87802. You can find them at www.smartnclassic.com.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Michelle, you are up.
Yep. You know what the bane of my existence is?
We
don't have enough time.
Yeah. We have the list.
Portfolios and computer bags that are not gender specific for women.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The ones for men are bulkier and they're a pain to carry. Sweeta has a new line of women's items out called the Mia Collection, M-I-A. And the one item that I have here that we're going to show on our website on asicentral.com/radio is in the shape of a little black dress, and it's a microfiber carrier for your jewelry when you travel. So it's a jewelry organizer in the shape of a little black dress.
Who's
so that
from?
Is from Sweeta.
Sweeta.
ASI 90305.
Very nice. All right. Thank you, Michelle. And unfortunately, we are out of time for today. But thank you all for listening. Thanks to our show sponsors, AIA and ASI Computer. Have a good week, everybody.
Okay, Andy.